start out this morning by expressing appreciation for being invited to work with you during this gospel meeting at Belleville. Been looking forward to it. I always appreciate the good work that you do here and the strong stand for the truth that you take. And had in the past good memories of pleasant work in gospel meetings here at Belleville, and look forward to another opportunity to be with you. Always appreciate James and the strong stand for truth that he takes and the preaching he does. Look forward to being with Brad this week and getting to know him and be encouraged by his decision to preach the gospel. But again, I want to start out simply by saying thank you for the opportunity to be with you again here at Belleville. During this Bible class hour, I want to talk about a subject that's rather delicate. There's always a question as to what's the best way to deal with subjects like this, but I do think we need to talk about this problem of pornography. It's a great danger. We want to be delicate. We don't want to say things that would be offensive in nature. But on the other hand, I don't think we can ignore this either. It's a real problem. It's affecting our society, but it's also affecting Christians in growing numbers. Talked recently with a counselor. In fact, the counselor is a fellow that some of you might know. He's a preacher named Art Adams, preaches up in northern Indiana, but has also been involved in beginning a counseling service to deal with various issues that people experience, and one of them is pornography and the addiction to pornography. We're told that pornography is the fastest growing addiction in the world today. A lot of that, I think, is due to the accessibility to pornography on the internet. And when we were talking to Art Adams, he said that mainline denominations in America are reporting that about 65% of their male members are involved in pornography. Isn't that incredible? When I was speaking to him, I asked him, well, what's it like among churches of Christ? Because those are the people that he's dealing with primarily. And he said, just based on his experience, just a perception that he has based upon the things he's seeing, and he deals with it all the time, he's saying between 40 and 50% of men among churches of Christ are involved in pornography. And it's not just a male problem. He says that maybe as many as 25% of women are looking at pornography. And this is among churches of Christ. And so it is an incredibly big problem. It's not something we can stick our head in the sand and say it doesn't pertain to us. It's not a danger to us. We don't have to worry about that. No, it's not like that. It is a true and present danger. And so by looking at some things from the scripture this morning, I hope we can be warned. I think that's important, that we be warned, and also that we be encouraged to be strong in this particular matter, this great moral temptation that is facing people. So, again, I want to talk about this. I had some doubt in my mind as to whether it was totally appropriate to do so or not. We've talked about it at the home congregation where I am in Tennessee. Our congregation has been affected by this, and some of our men have had the problem that we're describing today, and so we've talked about it, we've tried to teach on it. I thought it might be helpful for us to deal with it during this Bible class hour. Let's start out by making sure that we understand the definition of pornography. What constitutes pornography? Well, of course, sexually explicit pictures, but also writing or any other material that has as its intended purpose to arouse a person sexually. All of that would fit within the definition of pornography. The online encyclopedia Wikipedia says, pornography may use any of a variety of media, written and spoken text, photos, sculpture, drawings, moving images, including animations. Pornographic films combine moving images, spoken erotic text, and or other sounds. Magazines often combine photos and written text. Novels and short stories provide written text, sometimes with illustration. In addition to media, a live performance may also be called pornographic. Notably, all of the above may be found on the internet. That's what Wikipedia says about pornography. Now, be aware also that total, complete nudity is not necessary in order for a thing to be pornographic. Experts would classify something as popular as the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition every year as pornographic. Victoria's Secret lingerie magazine would be considered pornographic. Certainly, pages on the internet. They say an incredible percentage of the things that are available on the internet are pornographic. Photos, TV shows, movies, internet sites, any of these things featuring people dressing and acting immodestly would qualify as pornography. And the reason I go through that is to say, you know, maybe here's a fellow who says, I don't have that problem, because he doesn't think that he's looking at the very most terrible, explicit things. But he's looking at things that technically are considered pornographic, and we're going to see here in a minute that one thing leads to another. And you start at one level, but you're not satisfied at one level, and you go to the next level and the next. This is an addictive thing. And again, the experts are telling us that pornography is addictive. So we need to make sure that we understand what's defined here. Now, we need to know what's wrong with it. Someone said, okay, so you've got it defined. Tell me what's wrong about it. Why is it evil? Why is it sinful? Well, first of all, it clearly is identified as lasciviousness. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning verse 19, the Apostle Paul lists the works of the flesh. You know this text. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, there's that word lasciviousness. Lasciviousness, that's a word I think that you probably would never hear in normal daily conversation. And my guess is that the vast majority of people in our world would not recognize that word or have any sense of the meaning of it at all. It's certainly a church word, so to speak. It's a Bible word. It's a word we read in the Bible, but we don't use it otherwise. But it's an important word. It literally means, the definition is, given to or expressing lust, exciting sexual desires. That's what lasciviousness is. Now, the reason why it is so important for us to know that is this last phrase in the verse, which says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How serious is this then? How serious is this pornography thing? It can keep you out of heaven, right? Very plainly, clearly, it can keep you out of heaven. So, it's evil because it is lasciviousness. In association with that, of course, is that it glorifies the sexual relationship outside of marriage. God provided for us in marriage great blessings, and one of them is the sexual fulfillment that comes in marriage. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And so God has given us these desires and needs. He's given us a means, a method to fulfill those needs. And outside of that arrangement that God provides, it is sin, and people will be judged for that. We need to know that pornography is causing people to commit the sin that Jesus described in the Sermon on the Mount when he spoke of adultery in the heart. You remember Matthew 5, verse 27? Ye have heard that it is said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoso looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. A lot of people, I would guess the majority of people in the world, say, well, it's not bad unless you act out on something. Unless you physically commit an act, there's no problem. That's the way a lot of people in the world would think. I imagine that a number of people who would identify themselves as Christians believe that. As long as I'm not actually doing something, then it's not a problem. But Jesus said it is a problem. Jesus spoke of adultery in the heart. And that would definitely categorize viewing pornography, would it not? And so it is causing people to commit this sin. Know also that it corrupts the heart and it defiles the person. Jesus said in Mark 7, beginning verse 21, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness. There's that word again, right? Notice this happens in the heart. It comes from the heart. An evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evils come from within and defile the man. And so our hearts are corrupted. If we allow ourselves to look at that sort of evil content, whether it be, you know, literal printed pages. You know, it used to be that's what a fella had to do. If he wanted to look at pornography, he had to go down to the store. And at least he had to suffer the risk that someone would see him there picking up that dirty magazine. We used to call them dirty magazines. They were dirty magazines. He picks up his dirty magazine and he has to go through the checkout. He has to pay for it. Someone might see him doing that, you know. And I'm certain that served as sort of a barrier to some people who would have looked but didn't want to risk being caught buying a dirty magazine, and so they didn't. But now we've got the internet, right? And the internet's just absolutely full of that kind of perverted stuff. And I can sit in the privacy of my own home behind shut doors. I can click my mouse and I can go to you. What do you want to see? I mean, literally anything imaginable to the mind is available on that internet. And people imagine that they can look at that and no one will know, that they can do it in complete anonymity, that they're safe. No one will ever discover that. That's not absolutely true, as we've come to know. That's not absolutely so. But certainly, this defilement of the man, corrupting the heart, lasciviousness, is a great problem. So, again, here's what's evil about pornography. We know, hopefully we understand what's involved, all the kind of, lots. It's a much broader subject than I think a lot of people would allow. But the experts tell us that a lot of things fit under this big umbrella definition of pornography. And the reason why all of it is wrong for us as Christians is because of this word lasciviousness, because the effect that it has on our heart and the corrupting nature of it all. We need to be really on guard about these things. Now, having said that, let me suggest to you that all of us need to be careful not to underestimate the danger that exists. I'm satisfied that some people might say, well, yeah, I've heard of this, and I think that there are probably some men that I know maybe who are looking at that sort of thing, but not me. It's not a threat to me. I'm not in danger of any of that sort of thing. I tell you, that's really a dangerous attitude to have. We're all at danger, and we need to be aware. There's a progression with this pornography. And as we said before, and we'll emphasize again and again here, this is an addiction process. It is an addiction. People become addicted to looking at pornography. And the experts tell us it progresses sort of like this. It starts with early exposure. Most people who get addicted to pornography, we're told these days, start early. They see pornography when they are very young, and it gets its foot in the door. Just recently, we had a young man who confessed that he started looking at pornography when he was 8 years old. His parents allowed him to have a computer connected to the internet in his own bedroom and allowed him, without discretion, without oversight, to view whatever he cared to look at. He started looking at pornography when he was 8 years old. He said he was fully addicted by the time he was 10 years old. And so that happens a lot. Those of you who have kids and grandkids, you've got to be aware of this. You have got to be aware that this is not something that we're talking about for, you know, teenagers, 18, 19-year-olds, young adults. So, no, this is for very young kids. Kids are seeing stuff. They're being exposed to this way, way before their minds are ready to be able to process what they're seeing. Parents are letting their kids watch TV shows that are completely inappropriate for anybody, let alone for a young kid. Letting them go to movies. And again, letting them have access to the internet. And they're letting their kids be exposed to this stuff at such an early age. that it actually rewires the brain. Their thinking processes are altered for life by virtue of the early exposure that's taking place. So again, the addiction process begins like this. Again, we're here talking about the addictiveness of this pornography. It starts with early exposure. Then it says, we're told you keep coming back to pornography. You know, once you start seeing it, you keep coming back to it. And ultimately, it becomes a regular part of a person's life. Then it escalates. You begin to look for more graphic sorts of pornography. In fact, a person who's beginning down this route of addiction will begin to seek for things more explicit, more vulgar, things that would have earlier been disgusting to him. He would have been disgusted by this, but now he's coming down this road. Now he's actually searching for things that would have been absolutely horrific to him not that long before, because he's becoming addicted. A desensitization, can you say that word? A person becomes desensitized to what he is seeing. You sort of become numb to the images that you're viewing. The most graphic kinds of pornography now don't seem to provide the same sort of excitement. And a person sort of becomes desperate to have the same feelings again, that same thrill, but is unable to find it. You see, he needs more. It's like a drug, you know. First time a person takes an addictive drug, just a little bit will get him that high that he's seeking. But after he's taken that a time or two, now he needs a little bit more to experience that same feeling of high. And finally, he's taking the hardest kinds of drugs he can find and still can't get enough to get that high that he wants from taking his drug. He's addicted. Well, that's what happens with pornography, right? He starts out, but then he needs a little more. He needs more graphic, something more vulgar, something more explicit. And that keeps growing. And it gets to the point where he ultimately just can't be satisfied. He can't find what he's looking for to get that same feeling of high from the pornography addiction. And ultimately, then he begins to act out on his addiction, acting out the images which he has seen. Taking that from just something you look at on a printed page or on the internet and acting it out in real world ways. Again, that's the addiction process. That's the destructiveness of what's happening to people through pornography. So again, don't misunderstand or don't underestimate the danger that's involved here. It is truly addictive. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, they enticed by fleshly desires, by sensuality. They themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by it he is enslaved. I really think that verse pertains exactly to what we're talking about this morning, don't you? A person becomes enslaved by the corruption. That's the addiction. So certainly it is an addictive process. We know that it's destroying marriages. You may know, as I do, of marriages that have just been devastated when one partner or the other, and typically it's the man, although again, we said statistically, women are not immune from pornography, but you all may well have known of families where the husband, for instance, got involved in viewing pornography and it was just completely devastating to his wife. The family suffered horribly for it. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, Jesus said, our marriages are sacred. We should take great care. The man and the wife are no more twain, but one flesh. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. We shouldn't do anything to harm our marriage relationships. Now, just as a side note, I want to make this point clear. If any of you have questions, we can talk more about that later. But I am not suggesting here that pornography provides an exception for divorce. I think some people take that view. I don't think that's accurate. I think it's a horrible sin. I think it's very hurtful to the marriage relationship. But I do not think that it provides the grounds for divorce that Jesus goes on there in Matthew 19, verse 9, to talk about the exception of fornication as a reason why a person could divorce a mate and marry another without sin. I do not believe that pornography would qualify there. And again, if anybody has some question about it, we can talk more about that privately. But I am saying that certainly, especially typically, when the husband's looking at pornography, it can be really, really hurtful to the marriage relationship. I think a lot of young people are being ensnared by this. I told you earlier about the young fella at our congregation who was fully addicted to pornography by his own admission by the time he was 10 years old. And this is happening earlier and earlier. Very young children are coming to know about things that would be shocking to some of us who are older, who probably know more about some things than adults know, because they've been allowed to be exposed to that sort of thing, and they're being ensnared. They're not able. Their minds are not mature enough. They're not emotionally prepared to be able to deal with the things that they're being exposed to, and it's catching them and catching them earlier. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, at verse 33, you know this text, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. That's the New American Standard Version. You remember probably the King James wording there. Be not deceived, rather, evil communications corrupt good manners. Here, I think, you know, a lot of times I like the New American Standard Version because it talks about bad company. And a lot of times we talk about, you know, our young people running around with a bad crowd, and that bad crowd is corrupting to them. And so I like the New American Standard Version when we're trying to make that point about peer pressure. But maybe the King James really fits the bill here when it talks about evil communications. Pornography is a form of communication, right? Whether it's on a printed page or whether it's on the internet, it's communicating things to us, and it is a corrupting thing. So, again, lots of young people are being affected by it. We got to be aware of that danger. It hardens the heart. That's really the danger. Your heart grows hard by way of this addiction, by way of the pornography that you're viewing. We talked about how more and more is necessary and so forth. The heart grows hard. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Pay special attention to that expression, deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin has the potential to harden one's heart. Let me see if I could offer some expressions that a person might use that would indicate that his heart is growing hard. I can handle it, you know. Oh yeah, I know that some people have a problem with pornography, but I can handle it. It's not a problem for me. Or maybe someone says, it's just sort of a little distraction, you know. It's just a little distraction. It's not a big deal. It's just a little distraction, you know. I look at pornography from time to time, but I just use it as sort of a mild distraction. Or someone else says, if you can imagine it, someone else says, I actually believe that it helps my marriage. I believe that my marriage is better because I look at this. And maybe me and my wife look at this. I'm going to tell you, that's all deceitfulness. That's just horrible deceitfulness. Anybody who would believe that sort of thing could believe anything. They're being deceived by the sin. We need to be warned about the deceitfulness of it. It hardens the heart. That's what he's saying here. Our hearts are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so, again, don't underestimate the danger. I think this is maybe what's caused this to explode among Christians, this pornography problem to explode among Christians, because we've thought, it's not a big deal to me. I know people of the world out there are doing this sort of thing, but it's not a threat to me. It's not a danger to me. I don't have to worry about it. Yes, you do. If we don't get anything else across in our lesson this morning, let us get across this point. You have to worry about it. You have to be concerned. Don't underestimate the danger of this problem. It's huge. Well, if we stopped here, it's probably a dark, gloomy picture completely. But let me suggest there are some things that we can do. Let's conclude our study by talking about some of the things that we can do. Some preventative measures, if you will, that we can employ. First of all, I want to use the expression warfare. Be prepared for the war. You know, living the Christian life is described variously in the scripture as a warfare, as a battle that we're engaged in. Can you imagine, try to imagine this in your mind. It's a battlefield. You know, the full battle picture is out there, you know. And there's tanks and there's artillery and there's gunfire and there's a minefield, a literal minefield out here. And here's a kid just wandering around out there in the middle of the battlefield. You don't just wander around in a battlefield, right? You don't just wander around when they're shooting bullets and when bombs are going off and when there are mines that you might step on. You don't wander around in a battlefield. You pay attention. You take precautions, right, in a battlefield. Well, we're in a war here. Satan is warring for our souls. He wants to get us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Fleshly lusts. That identifies pornography, doesn't it? Fleshly lust. What do? They war against the soul. They war against the soul. We're in a warfare here. I got to believe, I'm just trying to picture this in my mind, but I got to believe that Satan is just absolutely delighted with the developments that have come along in our lifetime. When we think about the advancements of technology, especially when we think about the internet, what an incredibly wonderful tool the internet has been for Satan. Now, some of us try to use the internet for good, right? We have our church websites, and we try to put beneficial material out there that can be accessed through the internet. So we're trying to use it as a good tool. And I tell you what, we haven't been nearly as successful as Satan has been in using the internet as a great tool for his purposes to capture men and women, cause them to commit sin. These things war against the soul. So be ready for that warfare. Don't just be wandering around out there in the battlefield mindlessly. Pay attention, be aware, and know that those dangers exist. Secondly, let me suggest as a preventative measure, never assume, again, that you're immune from the danger, because that's when you most likely will fall. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I think that's really an appropriate statement in regards to what we're talking about this morning. At the very time that you think it's not dangerous, that's when it's most dangerous. You think that you're standing and it's not a threat to you, that's when you're most likely to fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Very appropriate statement and warning in regards to pornography. Let me take just a little bit. I got a couple of minutes here. I want to take a sidetrack here. But it's clearly associated with what we're talking about. I want to talk about the movies people watch. I think the great danger of pornography is the internet these days, but I'm telling you, movies are horrible too. And TV on top of that. There's just a lot of very, very terrible content out there. And I'm concerned when I hear Christians talking about some of the movies that they go to see. And I see the advertisements for those things in the newspaper, and I know that I know what the ratings are for the movies that I hear Christians going to watch, and they commend those things. Christians are commending the movies they watch when the ratings of those movies clearly indicate that a Christian doesn't have any business being there. Again, it is the subject we're talking about. And it is that sin of lasciviousness that we talked about earlier in our lesson. Someone says, well, yeah, but it doesn't bother me. I go to see those kind of movies, but It doesn't bother me. I watch those kind of things and it doesn't affect me. And you know what my response to that is? Really? You're kidding me. You go to watch that stuff and it doesn't affect you? Really? There must be something wrong with you, because it's supposed to affect you. The people who are making those movies make them to affect you. Listen here, listen. You say it doesn't bother you? It's supposed to bother. The people who made the movie designed it to bother you. If it doesn't bother you, there's either something wrong with you and you better go to the doctor, or you're just deceiving yourself and lying about it. And I think the second thing is probably much more likely true. Quickly, let me suggest to you what the movie ratings themselves say. R-rated. You know, R-rated, restricted. A film with this rating, these are what the rating people say. This comes from them, okay? R-rated, restricted. A film with this rating requires a viewer under the age of 17, 18 in some jurisdictions, to have a parent or other adult guardian accompanying the viewer. May contain very strong language or strong sexual emphasis, strong explicit nudity, strong violence and gore, or strong drug content. You see anything there that a Christian ought to be looking at? And yet I hear Christians talking about going to see R-rated movies. I've even heard preachers admitting to go watch R-rated movies. Why? For what reason would a Christian absorb that kind of filth into his mind? Why? But people are doing, Christians are doing that. Here's PG-13. A lot of people, oh, well, it's PG-13. It's not a problem at all. Here's what the rating experts say about PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under age 13. I would say probably inappropriate for anybody with a mind. May contain moderate language, minimal strong language, some explicit nudity, intense violence, gore, or mild drug content. This is the highest unrestricted rating. Again, why would anybody, much less a child, but why would anybody be allowed to put that sort of filth into their mind? And then PG. I know parents who, without discretion, allow their kids to go see a PG movie. Don't even think about it. It's fine. I've heard them say, it's just PG. Well, the ratings experts say some material may not be suitable for children. They're saying that. Now, get this. This is a person of the world who is not speaking from a standpoint of spiritual values whatsoever. The person who's rating this doesn't have any biblical basis for the rating, but even that person says some material is probably not suitable for children to watch. Parents are letting their kids go and not even thinking about it. May have mild violence and or action, mild language and sexual references, brief nudity, including revealing attire, intense images, sexual themes, crude humor, or very mild drug references. You going to let your kids go see a PG movie? Go, yeah. Nothing, it's just PG. Not a problem with PG, right? I'm just encouraging you to think about that. We are not immune. We are not immune from this danger. You've got to be aware. Don't be wandering around out there in the minefield. Be aware of this great danger. Guard your heart. You've got to be in control. Remember Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. Put controls in place. If you're a parent or a grandparent, be protective of your children. Protect them. Protect them from this. You know, the idea, if there was a murderer or a sexual abuser out there, you'd protect your kids from that. If there was some kind of wild, raging beast out there, a rabid dog, you'd protect your kids from that. Parents, grandparents, your job is to protect your kids, right? I want to tell you, this danger we're talking about this morning is far more prevalent than any of those other dangers. Yet parents and grandparents are acting like they're oblivious to the danger. Protect yourself. Protect your kids by all means. Put controls in place. You know, there are ways to control what kids can see. On the TV, There's controls that you can put in place. Certainly on the internet, you need, and there are technological controls that you can put on the internet so that certain kind of pages cannot be accessed. All of that's appropriate, for sure. In fact, if you have kids in your house and you don't have those in place, you need to go home today and research that and get busy putting those controls in place. Because I'm going to tell you, if kids have access to that stuff, I don't care what kids they are, if they have access to that stuff, they will look at it. There's a natural curiosity factor there that the kids will pursue. Put controls in place. Controls for them, controls for yourself. You know, don't have your computer somewhere where you can look at it and nobody looking over your shoulder, so to speak. We need help. We need control. Guard your heart. We probably don't have time, but you know, Matthew chapter. Well, let me look at it real quick because I think this is really appropriate. Look at the sermon on Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, verse 28. We already looked at. I say to you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Will you allow me to paraphrase that? It's in the context of looking and lusting, right? That's what he says in verse 28. Okay. Verse 29. If your internet connection offends thee, cut it off. Throw it away. It's profitable for thee that your internet connection should end rather than that your whole body should be cast into hell. Would that be a fair application of the principle? Or read it this way. If your TV set offends thee, throw it out. Cast it from thee. It is profitable for thee that your TV set should perish and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. Would that be a fair statement? It would be, wouldn't it? But you know, for some reason or another, I can't do without a TV. I got to have a TV. Oh, I can't live without an internet connection. I got to have my internet. But I'm using the internet over here to look at all kind of horrible pornographic images. But I got to have it. You don't expect me to live without an internet connection, do you? You see how that's gotten a hold of us? We think we have to have TV. We have to have internet. And it's sending people straight to hell. Guard your heart. And take whatever measures are necessary. If it means I have to live the rest of my life without TV. If it means I have to live the rest of my life without being able to access the internet. Then I need to do that. If that's what it takes. Because if I don't control that, I could go to hell for it. You see how serious it is? That's just how serious this is. Certainly pray. Pray in the face of temptation. Jesus taught that. Remember in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus took the disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane and he went off to pray and they kept falling asleep on him. He made a statement here. He said, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Don't you think that'd be appropriate to our discussion this morning? This is a great temptation. Pray. Use the power of prayer to address this temptation. And then look for the way of escape. One of the great promises, I think one of the most promising statements of Scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Where Paul said, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You can bear the temptation. You can handle it. You know, it is possible to overcome this great temptation, any temptation. But this one in particular that we're talking about this morning, you can overcome it. God will give you the strength. But you got to look for that way of escape. And then, finally, seek help from brethren. In James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, it may be that if I've gotten far enough into this thing and I can't handle it. I just simply can't handle it myself. This is overwhelming me. I'm just overtaken with it. I just can't deal with it. Well, now, maybe the thing, even though I think that I've been committing this sin in secret, maybe the thing for me to do is confess it openly and tell one or more of my brethren, I've got this problem and I need help. Will you help me? Will you pray with me? Will you pray for me? Will you help me deal with this? Confession is good for the soul. I think one of the reasons God designed confession is because it brings others into our problem and gets their strength and their help in dealing with it. And the experts tell us that one of the best things for dealing with addictive things like pornography is to get others to help us with accountability. And so possibly, this certainly is a part of God's plan. And even the experts will tell us it works. So seek help from other brethren. Well, it's a gloomy picture. I want to tell you, it's a very discouraging, gloomy tale to talk about pornography. But it's real. And we would be foolish to ignore it, not pay attention to the danger that's all around us, and take measures to be protected from it. Thanks for your good attention this morning.